before Sunday of Advent, the Nativity is really looming close. It's hard at this point in the season not to jump forward and preach about the Nativity, the baby coming among us, the baby Jesus. Who is Jesus? What is Jesus? Why a child? I don't know exactly where you are on your faith journeys. I am at a place where one of the abiding things that I think about is how God is revealed and where God is revealed. I'm very much interested in the notion of interfaith dialogue and the reality of God in Judaism, the reality of God in Christianity, the reality of God for Muslims around the world. One faith, one Lord, one baptism. What does it mean? What does it mean to proclaim that? The place that I go for answers to questions like this is, most of you know by now, the Bible. I'm a Bible guy. And so I've been lingering in this really interesting pairing for the fourth Sunday of Advent as we approach the Nativity, this pairing with a very early Isaiah tradition and the story of Joseph in the Gospel according to Matthew. I think they're related, and I think they're related in a unique way. And so if you will allow me, I'm going to unpack the Isaiah story for a little bit with you. Are you familiar with that story? Do you know what is happening? Do you know about King Ahaz and the predicament that he's in? No? All right, Kiki, let me tell you. So Ahaz was part of the Davidic dynasty. Ahaz was king of Judah, which is the southern part of the two kingdoms of Israel. Israel was to the north and Judah was to the south. This is late in the Davidic dynasty. Israel's history with its kings has been mixed at best. The northern kingdom and the southern kingdom aren't getting along. King Ahaz and his people, in verses just prior to the reading that we heard this morning, Ahaz and his people are literally shaking like trees. The reason they're shaking like trees is because the northern kingdom, Damascus and Samaria, have consigned together to attack Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and Ahaz is really, really frightened about what is going to happen. Ahaz is also figuring out a way to get out of this predicament, and he's thinking about making a deal with Assyria to the north. God comes to Ahaz and says, you've got nothing to worry about. These two smoldering stumps of firebrands, Damascus and Samaria, are going to last just a couple of years. And if you don't believe me, ask for a sign. This is God talking to Ahaz. If you don't believe me, ask for a sign and I'll give you one. And Ahaz' response to God asking him for a sign is, no thanks. And then he quotes Deuteronomy. Do not put the Lord your God to the test. If you unpack the narrative, really what's happening is that Abraham is hiding behind his piety. He doesn't ask for a son because he's afraid of, exactly, Sarah, he's afraid of what God will say. If he gets the sign and he is able to apply the reality of Yahweh, as high as the heavens or as low as Sheol, he's going to have to act out of that kind of faith commitment. Does it sound familiar? It's kind of like Ahaz has a don't ask, don't tell policy when it comes to his relationship with God. Don't ask if you don't want the answer. Some of us have a don't ask, don't tell policy when it comes to God, right? Occasionally, or at least some of the time. And then Isaiah comes along, and Isaiah has this prophecy about a woman who's going to bear a son and name that son Emmanuel, which means in Hebrew, E is Elohim, Manu is us. And so the phrase literally means with us is God. And we say Emmanuel means God is with us. And before this child is 2 years old, what you're worried about, these two stumps of firebrand, they're going to be gone. But Ahaz didn't really want to go there. He didn't want to have to apply his faith. So keep that for a minute. And let's jump to Gospel according to Matthew. Joseph is of the line of David. Hint. We're talking about this line of David. Joseph is a righteous man. He is a keeper of the law, and he knows the law well. He is engaged to Mary, and somehow Mary's starting to show, and it's not a good thing. And so Joseph, being a righteous man, is going to dismiss Mary quietly. We don't really know what that means, if that was going to be a happy ending or a sad ending. But the hint in the text, anyway, is that Joseph is a righteous man. He's a man of the law, and he's going to dismiss her quietly because his reputation is therefore going to remain intact. And if you read about the law in Deuteronomy, what happened to people like Mary? They were subject to death by stoning. So Joseph's not really... You see, you get the connection between hiding behind the piety thing? I'm a righteous man. This is a crazy situation. I don't think I want to go there. I don't want to think about it, so I'm going to dismiss her quietly. The don't ask, don't tell policy is still alive and well in the line of David. And then, while Ahaz had a prophet, Isaiah, Joseph has an angel. We need angels, don't we? We need prophets and we need angels to bring us to faith. And the angel comes to Joseph. This is the same thing that Isaiah said to Ahaz, which is, do not be afraid. This is a child of the Holy Spirit. And you shall name him Jesus because he has come to save. And this is to fulfill the prophecy that Isaiah said to Ahaz. I don't think it's much about fulfilling a prophecy as the Bible telling us that this abiding reality that was true for Ahaz is also true for Joseph. Jesus is Emmanuel. Jesus is God is with us. Say that with me. Jesus is God is with us. Do you feel the implication of that? Say it one more time. Jesus is God is with us. That's a big claim, right? If we are believers in Jesus, then we are believers that God is with us. If we believe in Jesus, we believe that God is with us here, there, and everywhere. And that means that we have to apply the reality of our faith context here, there, and everywhere. There is no don't ask, don't tell when it comes to what it means to be a confessing Christian. And so I think what's happening in these two texts is the Old Testament and the New Testament are proclaiming the same truth, which is Jesus is God with us. Yahweh is God with us. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Interesting confluence of events for me, because I don't know if you, I hope you all follow me on Facebook. Just kidding. I posted an ornament, one of my favorite ornaments. It's a circle that has the Jerusalem cross, the Star of David, and the sign of the Muslim faith. A lot of people reacted to it with thumbs up and said, I love that ornament. Today, at 2 o'clock, an imam and Rabbi Lustig and Barry and Buddy at 2 o'clock are going to gather down the street at Massachusetts Avenue, and we're going to walk together as a way of saying, as people of faith, Emmanuel, God is with us. And when God is with us, and when we carry God faithfully everywhere we go, everything we do has to change a little bit. Does that make sense? When you don't forget, when you don't put the blinders on, and you realize your relationship with the Creator of the universe, everything's a little bit different. And the Word of God is made manifest in the world. I'm going to, you may hear this twice, because I'm back at this next Saturday night. But I, in thinking about this morning, I remembered when Morgan Johanna Quigley was born. I don't know why the Bible, Isaiah, and Jesus, I don't know why a baby, but that's what we have, right? The incarnate Word comes as a baby. And Morgan was born at 1 o'clock in the morning on October 1st. I was up most of the night, and then I decided to go home and change my clothes before going back to the hospital the next day. And I went home, and I walked into the house, and the house was different. And I thought, interesting. And then I got a cold beer and went outside and sat on the porch, and the outside looked a little bit different. Everything looked a little bit different. Everything changed when this child came into my life. Emmanuel, God is with us. When God is with us, everything changes. That's the place we're moving towards, the celebration we're moving toward, proclaiming this Saturday night and next Sunday morning. If we can live it and live into it more fully, maybe God will be right? Enough upon me for the last week of the season of Advent? Okay. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God be with you.